And please go ahead and take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 45. If you were anticipating Psalm 37, well, you'll have to come back in a couple of weeks to get that. Because in our household, as most of you know, there's been a wedding kind of on our minds and hearts. So 45 has been very much in my thinking. And as at any wedding, the one on Friday had a beautiful bride. I'm not biased. Had a beautiful bride and a dashing groom. And you can think back to any wedding, pretty much that you've attended, and that was at the center, the bride and the groom. And particularly in Christian weddings, they're at the center as they make their commitments to one another before God. So it is a religious event, as God is called to witness their commitment. And the Bible presents our relationship with Christ, the relationship of God's people to Jesus Christ, as a marriage. He's given us a picture in the world of what his relationship to us can be likened to. Jesus is the groom, and we are the bride. And we can look back at either a wedding on Friday or, again, weddings, perhaps your own wedding, if you're married. Maybe some of you can't remember back that far. You've been married a long time, and that's a great thing. But think of that wedding. It's in the past. The one that's pictured in Psalm 45 is in the past. It's an historical event, and yet it anticipates something in the future. Our endless union with Christ forever. And this psalm is packed with anticipation and with joy and gladness. See, marriages here last as long as you both shall live. They come to an end. The one anticipated in Psalm 45, the real one of which all others are but a picture, is eternal. Never comes to an end. As long as you both shall live. Well, that's the promise. We are wed to a husband who, though he has died, yet he has been raised again, never to die. And his resurrection assures our own, and we will be united with him forever. And the Lord has given to us a song to remind us of what is coming. And it's Psalm 45, and we have just sung it. It's a celebration of the wedding of the King. And it should build in us a sense of anticipation. And that's what struck me. All this anticipation. And then it's over. And exhaustion sets in. There's still great anticipation, but there won't be the exhaustion. It'll go on into eternity forever, full of joy and gladness, peace and blessing, as marriages should be. So this is Psalm 45. We've sung it, but now let's read it. My heart overflows with a pleasing theme. I address my verses to the King. My tongue is like the pen of a ready scribe. You are the most handsome of the sons of men. Grace is poured upon your lips. Therefore, God has blessed you forever. Gird your sword on your thigh, O mighty one, in your splendor and majesty. In your majesty, ride out victoriously for the cause of truth and meekness and righteousness. Let your right hand teach you awesome deeds. Your arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies. The peoples fall under you. Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of your kingdom is a scepter of uprightness. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness beyond your companions. Your robes are all fragrant with myrrh and aloes and cassia. From ivory palaces, stringed instruments make you glad. Daughters of kings are among your ladies of honor. At your right hand stands the queen in gold of Ophir. Hear, O daughter, and consider and incline your ear. Forget your people and your father's house, and the king will desire your beauty. Since he is your lord, bow to him. The people of Tyre will seek your favor with gifts, the richest of the people. All glorious is the princess in her chamber, with robes interwoven with gold. In many colored robes she is led to the king, with her virgin companions following behind her. With joy and gladness they are led along as they enter the palace of the king. In place of your fathers shall be your sons. You will make them princes in all the earth. I will cause your name to be remembered in all generations. Therefore, nations will praise you forever and ever. And we'll end our reading there with Psalm 45. 45, again, was penned on some historic occasion. We're not exactly sure when, but a marriage of a Davidic king. Some think Solomon, some think others. But as grand as that ceremony likely was, as the union of a king and his queen would be, the language of the psalmist here is far too exalted. It is far too elevated for that occasion to be the sole concern or even primary focus. The psalmist moves from this wedding here into the throne room of heaven. Your throne, O God, he says. So he sees into the very throne room of heaven, and he sees here, by the inspiration of the Spirit, the Lord Jesus Christ and his bride, the church. See, when God ordained marriage back in Eden, we find that at the end of Genesis 2, where Adam sees Eve and says, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh." And Moses makes the observation that for this reason, for this cause, a man will leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. In that establishment of marriage, God was not merely providing companionship for Adam. He was giving a picture of his own relationship with his people. And that's what Paul unpacks in Ephesians chapter 5, which we've already read together. He says, "This mystery is profound, but I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church." So even before the fall, as Adam and Eve are presented before us, it's a picture of the relationship of God and his people. And that motif of the marriage continues through the scriptures. It's found in the prophets, Jeremiah chapter 3, Ezekiel chapter 16, Hosea chapters 1, 2, and 3. And unfortunately, they're presented there in graphic detail of showing the spiritual unfaithfulness of God's people Israel. And in these chapters, the bride of God, the people of God, are shown to be an adulterous wife. One who is not faithful to her husband. One who goes after other lovers. And it's graphic. The prophets hold nothing back. So the motif starts in Genesis, continues through the Old Testament prophets, and in the New Testament, Jesus himself takes up the same motif. And in Matthew 22, he likens the kingdom of heaven to a wedding feast. The bride is here, the groom is here. Where are the celebrants? Where are the people? Bring them in. But the kingdom of heaven is like a wedding feast. Matthew 25, the kingdom of heaven are like virgins who are waiting for the bridegroom and the coming of the kingdom. Be alert, be ready. And it is the metaphor with which the Bible ends. The very end of Revelation, we read this. John says, "Then I heard what seemed to be the voice of a great multitude, like the roar of many waters and like the sound of mighty peals of thunder, crying out, 'Hallelujah! For the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us rejoice and exalt and give him the glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. It was granted her to clothe herself with fine linen, bright and pure. For the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints.' And the angel said to me, 'Write this: Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb.'" Have you gotten your invitation? Do you know where it is? Invitations that we get often end up on the side of the refrigerator. We see it. Reminds us. Where is yours? Do you see it? Are you reminded? You've been invited. The honor of your presence has been requested. John goes on, "Then I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." You men who are married, you remember seeing her adorned for you. He is pleasant. He is blessed.
He's called us to himself. He has set his affection upon us. It is only fitting that to repent and to give ourselves wholly to him with complete devotion. Bow to him, as the psalmist says. So we're to behold our salvation. And look how Jesus has adorned us. All glorious as a princess in her chamber, with robes interwoven with gold. In many colored robes, she's led to the king, with her virgin companions following behind her, with joy and gladness they look along as they enter the palace of the king. There's no disgrace here. There's no spot. There's no blemish. There's no wrinkle. There's no impurity. There's nothing but glorious perfection, the beauty of holiness. And it's been given to us. And given to us as we are united to him. And there's great joy as we're presented to King Jesus. I trust that is the prevailing attitude of your life. Great joy. I told Vicki at the end of Friday, I said, you know, my face hurts from smiling so much. I feel like the case every day. Why are we so proud of the joy of what is coming? That we're bold rivals. Even in the midst of sickness and for poorer and perhaps for worse. Because look what is coming. Paul says, I don't count any of the trials now to be compared to the glory that is to come. Ours. In Christ. And notice the access. We're coming into the palace of the king. We're given entrance to the very palace, the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, with the promise of the new heavens and the new earth, where there is no longer any pain. There are no tears. There is no sickness. There is no worse. There is no horror. Are you anticipating that? It's coming. And it'll be here before you know it. Our life really is like a breath. And it's passing quickly. And that day is ever drawing nearer. Imagine you count down those days. I remember when I went to double digits. And then the single digits. And then the hours, I'm going to count that down because May we not be like those in the parable who say, I have something else better to do. There is nothing better to do than to be ready for the way when you are groomed up here. Lord, may every one of us be sure of our invitation. Be sure that we are ready. Be sure that we have oil in our lamps. And may we be awake when you come, being found ready and prepared, that you might receive us into your eternal kingdom. May you enthrall us, and may this song be true of us, that our heart overflows with love and joy for you, our King and our God. Forgive us for our sins. Lord, we turn from them by faith. May you